In comedy, it's often as easy to hit a nerve as it is to strike a funny bone. And the Theater Troupe Culture Clash knows that well. They first came together one Cinco de Mayo in San Francisco's Mission District 30 years ago. At the time, six Hispanic actors taking on tough topics. Here's part of a skit from their 1990s Fox television show that turns an illegal border crossing into a game show.
Well, the tension sure is mounting here on the floor. The only thing between these contestants and their green card is this border thing. And these are more American border gladiators. Contestants, are you ready?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States.
Not yet, Doña Flora. On your mark.
Well, and now their current stage show, Muse and Moros, weaves together 30 years of the group's work, adding very new skits based on conversations they've had with everyone from victims of priest child abuse to Muslim taxi drivers. They're still working it out. One night, an audience member walked out, outraged about that Muslim skit. The night I was there, four tipsy women left, wobbling right through another skit. They thought it was supposed to be a stand-up comedy show. It's not, but as a review in The Artery said, the remaining three members of Culture Clash fearlessly and skillfully find a way to make social comment a prime motive. And two members of Culture Clash join us now. Rick Salinas is here. Hi.
Hello, Robin.
And Richard Montoya as well. Thanks for coming to the studio.
You say Salinas, I say Salinas.
And Richard, start with you. Because the show I attended, you had an after meet and greet with audience members in which you were really trying to use them almost as a focus group. You know, how should we go forward? You're really working this out. What's that like to work out a show in the middle of a kind of a fraught time in this country where we're talking about a lot of the things you raise?
Yeah, I mean, you know, from Ferguson to ISIS, it is a tense time to be handling this sort of dynamite. But that's the roots of our work. You know, we were born in an art gallery in San Francisco in 1984. And so there was part stand-up, you know, part performance art. You know, we are doing comedy, but from the Boston Archdiocese to an African-American kid at the Dade County prison in Miami, we're talking about post-colonial trauma. And that's just not topic number one in a stand-up comedy routine.
This is from conversations you've had with people. And the scene, I guess you'd call it a skit, in which you play, I think, a survivor of church sex abuse.
Right.
And somebody from the audience in that kind of focus group said to you something like, yeah, it was so serious.
I feel there's something redemptive at the end of each of them. And at the end of that monologue is really a remarkable monologue in the end about forgiveness and grace and mercy. Yeah. And we've learned something about ourselves. Or Tommy from Sudbury. What does that have to do with a Chicano from L.A.? It turns out more than we thought.
Well, I was going to ask you that. What does that mean to a Chicano?
Well, we had large Catholic families.
Yeah. But Rick, in one of your skits, you stay sort of within the Hispanic culture. This one is so funny. Is it you that does the salsa?
Yes.
How different people dance the salsa.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, the Hispanics in the audience, Latinos, were on the floor.
Dying.
Because apparently
they were losing.
Let's listen to just a little.
Cubans dance like they got the Santeria spirits flowing through them, right? They look like they got no muscle reflex, right? It's like,
describe what you're doing here.
I'm moving like a Cuban,
which is what?
Like they're getting tasered when they move and dance.
Very hyper, very hyper.
Mexicans, do they flap
their
arms like
chickens?
Like
sweet chickens? Yes, that's Richard.
El pollo loco. They call me pollo loco.
But you know
loco.
What? Like in all our, what you consider sketches or monologues, there's always a deeper, and that's where I think the blurry lines between what satire is, what reality is. And so for that character, it was a real person. We went out on the streets in the Lower East Side, and we interviewed him, and he talked about what it's like to be Puerto Rican, the differences and so forth. We, for instance, sometimes we go there where we think it's going to be hilarious, like the lady that's the Cuban and the Norwegian. You know, at first when we met them, we said, oh, what a waste of time. But
this
then we realized,
Miami.
This is Miami, yeah. And they were an interracial couple. So these are real stories.
And they kind
stories.
Of equate losing LeBron James and the Trayvon Martin as
a
similar tragedies. But, you know, everywhere we go, Robin, also the idea of gentrification, like Junior on the Lower East Side was very concerned about how, you know, Ludlow Street and the Bowery was changing overnight. And we found that in the Mission District in Williamsburg and Echo Park in Los Angeles, this idea of outsiders kind of taking over. But even the idea of gender or gay and lesbian politics.
Well, talk a little bit about one of the characters that's played by the third member of the troupe.
Herbert Siguenza.
Yep. Awaiting surgery,
right.
Already dressing and speaking as a woman, but waiting for the surgery. It is in your face. It's very, you know, talking about body parts and what the surgery is. What was the thinking behind that character?
This is a person that we met every now and then. You're sitting across a table from someone, and they, in a sense, are your muse. You know your life is being transformed because this is information we had never heard before. We met this kind of angel that wasn't just about her transition from a man to a woman, but also helping people with the needles and AIDS. I mean, she was a tireless, completely dedicated worker to the lowest of the low of the people that live in the streets of San Francisco. And San Francisco is also a very harsh and very expensive city.
And you would look at her and you would think other of your own prejudices of who she is.
She's a drag queen or she performs. Yeah. No, she's night and day, 16 hours a day, dedicated to helping people get off the streets. And so that, Robin, that dedication mirrors somehow the dedication of Tommy, the Catholic schoolboy from Sudbury. It's the same. It's a similar unlikely dedication to mercy and justice in a violent world.
Let's listen. We have some sound. Again, this is Herbert Siguenza, your fellow member of Culture Class, playing this transgender health worker.
So what happens is that we have a lot of Latinas in the community that are HIV positive. You know, we have transgender issues in the community, and we have bisexuality in the community, but these are taboo issues. We don't talk about these. So that's why we formed the Transgender Umbrella, to organize all the little LGBT groups.
And again, we see how this character intersects again with the Hispanic community, as she's saying. Richard, you also play a young Vietnamese obsessed with rap. He's got gold chains that almost pull him to the ground, hanging around his neck. And in this scene, he's comparing his feelings about Mexicans with his feelings about black people. Let's listen.
I like black people, but I don't like Mexican people. I like black people. That's just the way we are, you know? We like it to roll like that, you know?
Down at the end there, you can hear an audience member say, oh my God.
Yeah. That's so funny. Revealing, you know? That's like a secret agent in our office, so I appreciate that.
There were a lot of moments like that where people would say, I can't believe Hispanics are playing an Asian talking about blacks. Is that racist?
Well, it is, but it is an appropriation of terms. You know, it's all the harsh words and the labels that fly past you for 90 minutes. They do something in the end, and it's like water rushing past rocks, and your ear gets used to it in a way that you have to get used to Richard III, or you have to get used to Measure for Measure when you're watching Shakespeare. Like, the first 10 minutes, Shakespeare is so smart. He's just getting our ear used to it. That's kind of what we're doing with the show. We're getting your ear used to this profane, hopefully profound kind of evening, so that when an Asian car gang guy from Orange County to San Diego is appropriating the N-word and using it without any care or thought, yes, we're horrified. We're horrified when we're in the Miami home of the couple and they're talking about, you know, we're kind of doing what the audience just did now, but quietly to each other. Oh, my God.
Well, but also noticing that in other ways, you kind of like them. Because they're just people.
Yeah, they're real. And that's, you know, I think it's a novelty, and why people kind of, when they see the show, they don't know what to make of it, because first of all, they're not used to seeing three Latino men on stage doing this type of work.
Doing anything.
Yeah, anything, really. And when they see this, they're expecting maybe a Lorca play or magic realism play or something. But we come in strong with these characters that we adore, that kind of, you know, we feel like we owe them, that we have to represent them in the most legit way, because they are real people, like you said. And sometimes you can't make it up.
Oftentimes, the only other three Latinos in the building are the janitors. And that's also a story we want to incorporate into the night of theater. We did it at Yale Repertory Theater. We're doing it here at Arts Emerson, where, you know, faculty had found custodial workers that were marginalized, and they changed it. And that story is also part of the night as well. Yeah. But that's usually the Latinos people have encountered in a busy, fast as a minute, how quickly things move. We're kind of slowing things out and taking, as my 4-year-old says, a timeout to kind of look at stuff and handle ideas of race and class.
Culture Clash members Richard Montoya, Rick Salinas. And Rick, I just have to ask you again, your character who demonstrates how everyone does the salsa. I don't remember seeing you there when I, as a white woman, did the salsa. How do whites do the salsa?
What they do is they throw their arms in the air, and they get a flashback from Woodstock.
I want to thank you both so much.
Thank you, Robin.
We're fans. Thank you.